Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs and I want to thank you for joining me this morning. Let us get started, as always, with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all the glory, all the honor that is due your name. We thank you this morning, Father God, for the many blessings that you have blessed us with, for your mercies are new daily. We thank you that daily you load us with benefits, and Lord, we receive everything that you have given us and everything that you continue to give us and those things which are yet to come. And we say thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that speaks of better things over ourselves, and it's better than the blood of Abel. We say thank you this morning, Jesus. We thank you as we plead the blood of ourselves and our families. We thank you and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we are grateful to you, Jesus, for the many, very many things that you do for us. And even as you continue to intercede at the right hand of the Father on our behalf, we are grateful. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our friend, and our guide. Spirit of the living God, you're welcome into our lives, into our homes, and onto this program. Have your way in us this morning. We say thank you as we pray this Colossians prayer over ourselves. We thank you that you pray alongside us. So from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, and the light. And we thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray for all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. This morning, I want to conclude on what we've been talking about. In Matthew 11:13, Jesus said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries or the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given." Amen. And so what does he mean to you? To us, it has been given to know. It means that he has given us, you know, God has already given us the knowledge. It's been given for us to know how to operate the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so we need that knowledge. We need, I've talked about it in the past few days, we need the wisdom of God in every situation in order to be, to take command in life, in order for us to, you know, overcome situations that we are faced with. Let's go to Psalm 119. We'll start there again today. Psalm 119, verse 130. We read it the other day, but, we need to start there. It says, "The entrance and unfolding of your words gives light." Now, that word, your words, means the word of God. So the entrance and unfolding. So that entrance is when the word of God enters into you, and that unfolding is revelation. I'll talk a bit more about revelation next week by the grace of God. But it says the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding. So when you receive revelation from the word of God, you will get understanding. This is what it means. And then in Amplified, it has here discernment in parenthesis after understanding. It says, so let me read it again. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding. And then in parenthesis, it says discernment and comprehension to the simple. And this is so powerful. This is super powerful because, again, you know, when you don't understand the word of God, you know, basically what happens is that you wander, you go, you know, wander around, not knowing what to do. And that's why people say, well, I don't know what to do in this situation. Even though I'm reading the word of God, I don't know what to do. But remember, Jesus always knew what to do. And we're told he is the word. You know, God has no other way of ending your toiling other than through his word. You know, there's no other way of God ending that attack of sickness or disease, that attack in your marriage, that attack, you know, in your finances or in your business or in your career or in your relationships. He has no other way other than through his word. And so you cannot be in command until the word is at hand and until the word gains entry into your life. That's why it says the entrance and unfolding of your words gives light. When you the word is unfolded, that light is that revelation that you receive or that wisdom that you receive. So the entrance, when the word of God enters you, then the unfolding, which is the revelation, it gives you that light or it gives you that understanding or that wisdom that you need to be able to do whatever it is you need to do in your, to whatever strategy you need to use to be able to get out of that bondage or of that pit that the enemy has held you in. So basically put, when the word gains entrance into your life or into my life, it results in putting us in command and in charge of the affairs of our lives. And so you can have as many ideas of how to handle a situation and the challenges that you're confronted with, and there's plenty of ideas. However, unless it's from the word of God, it may not succeed. You know, and you and I as Christians, we've got to be reminded that though we live in this world, we are not of this world. So we don't use the mechanisms of the world to get out of situations or, we don't use the strategies of the world, you know, to deal with the challenges that we're faced with. We are not of this world. So we are from the kingdom of God, and God has provided to us through his word every strategy, every tool, every weapon that you and I are ever going to need in order to get out from whatever situation that we find ourselves trapped in. The Bible speaks of how the enemy lays traps and he lays the nets so that people can fall into those nets and fall into those traps. You know, when you read even some of these Psalms, you'll find that the psalmist is talking about how, you know, the enemy laid a trap for him. He laid a net for him so he can fall into it, you know. And so he's asking the Lord to open his eyes so that he will not fall into the traps of the enemy. Amen. And so because of that, you know, he's talking to God about let the wickedness. I like, you know, in Psalm 7, and this is just a side issue, but in Psalm 7, verse 9, he talks about let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. You know, why is that? Because he talks about how, you know, the enemy pursues his life and let him trample to the ground. And, you know, and he says, you know, he talks about how the enemy lays traps for him that he would fall into it. He laid his net, you know, let him fall into the net. Verse 15 says, he made a pit and hollowed it out and has fallen into the hole which he made before the trap was completed. So the devil is busy making pits, you know, so that people can fall into those pits. You know, it's a trap, you know, and then the psalmist says his mischief shall fall back in return upon his own head and his violence come down with a loose dirt upon his own scalp. In fact, in another version, I remember reading a long time ago, it said his mischief will boomerang back to him. You know, if you think about a boomerang, you know, it'll go back to him. It'll go back upon his own head. But he's busy laying traps for the saints of God so that we can fall into these traps. You know, he's busy digging holes and so that we can fall into these pits. And then, you know, if we don't know and don't have enough word in us, then we don't know how to get out of these pits that we have fallen into. And so this is why the word of God is so important. And I like the fact that the psalmist said the entrance and unfolding of your word is what gives light. The unfolding of it gives understanding and discernment and comprehension to the simple. So when knowledge and information in a certain area become adequate, every door in that particular area will open on its own accord. You know, no matter how many devils may seem to be challenging you, the light that you receive, the revelation that you receive in this light, and or the understanding that you get in the light from the Word of God when it's unfolded unto you, it's enough to deal with that situation. The entrance of God's Word gives light and understanding to our simple minds. So knowledge will open any door to which it is directed. That's why it is super, super important. So we need to ask the Lord to help us to locate from His Word the keys, the appropriate keys that deal with the issues of life that we are faced with. You know, and like I said before, the struggles we encounter in life are because we don't have the appropriate keys and we don't have enough knowledge in that particular area. You know, how much prayer, you know, do you need to pray, you know, in that area? Like I said before, you don't need, you know, to get into your car. As long as you have keys in your hand, you don't need to pray prayers to get into your car. You just go to your, walk over to your car and, you know, use those keys to get in and turn on. You know, you even when you get inside the car, you don't spend time praying, oh, Shara Abosia, Lord, which key do I have to use to turn on the car? No, you know what key it is to turn on your car because you have that knowledge. Well, it's the same thing. When you have the knowledge of the Word of God about a specific area, be it faith, be it healing, be it prosperity, total life prosperity, be it financial prosperity, be it prosperity for your family or children, you know, or in other areas of your life, whatever it is, when you have the knowledge in that specific area, you know, believe me, when the enemy attacks, you will have, you know, in your hand the appropriate key to use. Now, the thing is, the Word of God does not guarantee that we, you know, though we get this knowledge, there's not going to be any more attacks. Absolutely not. You and I, as long as we are in this world, Jesus gave us a promise in John 16, verse 33. He said, in this world, you shall have trials and tribulation. So it's a promise that we will go through trials. We will go through tribulations. As soon as you are done with this trial that you're dealing with right now, there'll be another one waiting for you to go through. You will always, as long as you are on this earth and as long as you are alive, will experience trials and tribulations. And this is why Jesus said, be of good cheer because I've already overcome them. And He's told us that we are overcomers. Well, we can't be called overcomers with nothing to overcome. And so we need to be able to overcome these trials and these situations. And as we overcome them, you know, and we allow the Lord to display His glory and His power in our lives, more and more of those who are in the kingdom of darkness will be drawn into the kingdom of God's dear Son, into His light, knowing and seeing what God is doing for us. And so don't always feel like, Lord, why me? Why am I going through this situation? No, you're going through it because to you it has been given. Amen. You're supposed to possess the key in your hand that will get you delivered out of that situation. To you, it has been given to know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And so, yes, why not you? Because you, the reason why you have to go through, and it says, but to them, to them who are without, it has not been given. So, yeah, maybe they're not going through because they don't have the key. The enemy is attacking you and I because we are the ones who possess these keys that open the keys of knowledge to the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So don't get too distracted to where you don't spend enough time in the Word. And that's why I keep harping on get in the Word, get in the Word. Spend time, gain the knowledge that you need from the Word of God. You know, the Bible is full of these keys, you know, and the covenant keys it contains are what we refer to as revelation knowledge, divine insight, and illumination. And so whatever it is that you're dealing with, ask the Lord to help you locate it from His Word. That's why the Holy Spirit is here. He is our teacher. He's our friend. He's our guide. He's our everything. He knows everything. He knows how to pray. He's our intercessor. He knows how to pray when we don't know how to pray. And He will pray alongside with us. And He will unfold the mysteries, the deep mysteries of God, you know, about that situation. And He also prays the perfect will of God in that situation. So ask Him to help you to locate it. You see, I like, again, while we're still here in Psalm 119, the psalmist, you know, I like how he prayed before the Lord. In Psalm 119, let's go back to verse 18 and I'll show you what I mean. This has always been one of my favorite prayer points for myself before I read the Word of God. And I've done this for years, and I mean, to the point where sometimes I don't even have to pray because I'm so used to, I know the Holy Spirit, you know, once you develop a pattern, you get so used to it with the Holy Spirit where you know that each word that you read at any time that you study the Word, whether it's just one chapter or 10 chapters that day, or you're reading an entire book of the Bible, you know that you have that relationship. You know he's right there. You know every verse you read, he illuminated. He will give you that revelation. So you don't, you know, once you get to that place, you know, it's like I take it for granted that, you know, the Holy Spirit will show me what I need. But yeah, sometimes when I get to some place and I'm like, oh, I didn't pray my prayer today, I'll be like, Holy Spirit, open my eyes so I know what you're saying here. There's things that, I mean, I read the Bible every year throughout. You know, I read together with everybody the whole year, but I also read throughout just for myself, to gain knowledge, to gain the keys, to gain entry into, or, you know, to gain the knowledge that I need for whatever situations I'm dealing with, but also for teaching. And each time there's stuff that sometimes I'll read a verse that I've read 100 times before, and He's giving me a different revelation of that verse. I'll be like, oh, wow. You know, so there's so much that is contained in the Word of God that you and I don't even, we have yet to even tap into. And the enemy tries to get us distracted by all these other things, you know, the cares of the world, so that we don't spend time in the Word. You know, you hear people saying, well, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like getting in the Word today. You know, but this is where you need to be. Oh, I just don't feel like going to attend that conference or that meeting. You know, I just don't feel like it because I, you know, I've been attacked and everything. But that's what you need. You need to get into the Word. You need to hear the Word so you can get the Word, the key that you need to unlock the door that has been locked behind you by the enemy. And so here in Psalm 119 verse 18, it says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. What is that saying? Lord, open my eyes so that I can gain the knowledge of the wondrous things that are in your word, basically. And so I've prayed that prayer for I don't know how many years, but before I can start studying the word, excuse me, or reading the Bible, I just say, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things that are out of your law. And I don't just pray it before, I pray it as I go along. If I come across something and I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me right there, I want you to read that, and I'm not gaining it, I'm like, Lord, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Open my eyes so that I may see what you're saying right here, so that I may gain the understanding of what you're saying right here. You see, and sometimes I can read, and as I'm meditating, I'm like, Lord, I need understanding of what I'm meditating upon. I need understanding. I like how David speaks of in verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts. So, you know, so shall I meditate on and talk of your wondrous works. Verse 27, make me to understand, Lord God. Then he goes to verse, you know, 33, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. I like verse 34, which says, give me understanding that I may keep your law. Yes, I will observe it with my whole heart. You know, so why am I saying all these things? You see how it was so important for his eyes to be open, for understanding, for God to make him to understand, for God to give him understanding, for God to remove from him the way of falsehood and unfaithfulness. I mean, Psalm 119 is powerful. I love it. It's the longest psalm, but it, you know, it's powerful. If you take time to meditate upon it, not just read through it, but meditate upon it. Amen. And so For the word to gain access into you, you must first pay attention to it. If you don't pay attention to the word of God, you may never take delivery of the keys that operate the issues of life that you might be faced with. You know, every person that you see triumphing and succeeding in life as a Christian is really not because they're highly favored of God more than you or luck. We don't do luck in the things of God. Generally, it is because of the light that they possess. You see, it's you have to pay the price. You know, people always say, well, the word of God is free. No, it's not. There's a price to pay. There's nothing free about the word of God. You know, oh, yeah, because Jesus said freely it's been given to you. Yes, it's been given to us freely, but there is a price to pay to get it. You know, there's a price to pay to stay in the word. You've got to adjust your time. You've got to give time to it. That's the price that you're paying. You've got to spend time in the word. It's not free, you know. And so most people want to just get from somebody what they have spent hours and hours and hours, you know, putting in the work, and they just want to get it for free. You know, I don't even want to go into talking about offerings. Oh, why should I give an offering? You know, why do I need to give you an offering? The word of God is free. Well, if it's free, how come you don't have the revelation to get you out of that situation that you're dealing with? Why are you calling me? You know, and so that's the thing. The thing about it is it's never free. So don't ever cheapen the word of God like that. When people make it, oh, it's just free. It's not free. If it was that free, everybody would know what to do when they're faced with situations. But how many Christians don't know what to do because they haven't paid the price to get in the word and do what the word requires of them to do? And now they're going all over like prayer projects, seeking for whom someone can pray for them to help them get out of that situation. So no, it's not free. Don't ever cheapen the things of God like that. But you need to stay in the word of God to get what it actually, you know, to get what it takes to actually be in control. When you have this word, when Psalm 119 verse 130 says the entrance of God's word gains, the entrance of, let me go back there. I like that verse. The entrance and unfolding of God's word gives light. When you have that light, you are in control of the situation. When you don't have light, you're not in control of that situation. But in order for you to actually be in control, you need to get into the word. You know, not just reading the word, but studying it, meditating upon the word, gaining, you know, the insight, understanding, getting the revelation that you need so that you can, by God's wisdom, have a strategy to get out of that situation. Now, every extra light that you get inside you puts more of God in you, because God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. So we're told this in 1 John. Let's quickly go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, and this is the message of the promise which we have heard from him and are now reporting to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. No, not in any way. So if there's darkness in an area in your life, it means that God is not yet, you know, in command in that particular area of your life, or you have yet to gain or to get the keys that you need from the word of God to cause that, you know, to dispel that darkness in that area of your life. Now, the word of God is the only infallible, invincible instrument of control that we have. We can be in control when we are in the word of God, or when we have gained, or when the word of God gains entry into our lives. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being the outraying or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished a cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Amen. And so he is in control, you know, and it's only when we gain access and allow the entrance of God's word to take a hold of us in our lives, that we also get into in control. Now, it's not the word of God not only puts you and I in control, it also makes us, you know, masters over our circumstances and situations. Real quickly, let's go to the book of John 7, John chapter 7 and verse 37. The Bible says, "Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" Well, a good thing about locating the appropriate keys that we need is, you know, to be able to deal with the situations and circumstances of life that we are faced with is that, you know, all of us have, as if you're born again, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, we all have equal access by the blood of the Lamb to the things that are behind the veil. But how much we utilize that access determines what becomes of us ultimately. What am I saying? Well, God is not the one to be blamed if you and I fail in any area. And a lot of times we give the devil too much credit by saying the devil did this and the devil did that. Really, the devil is not your problem. Because why am I saying that? He is against everybody, even those who serve him. He is against them. He's, you know, his MO is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So he has no favor. So he's not only against you and I, but he's against everybody. Okay? So yes, in as much as the devil, you know, is equally against all of us who are saints of God, he is not able to pull all of us down. And why is that? Because even though God has given us all equal victory, each one of us enters into our own personal victory at our own level or by reason of the insight that we possess. What am I saying? Well, when you look around at all the, you know, the entire body of Christ worldwide, we are not all enjoying the same level of victories and triumphs today. And why not? This is not because some are more qualified than others or more others are more highly educated than others, you know, but it's because some are walking in more light than others. You see, for instance, you don't fail an exam just because it's difficult. You fail an exam because you don't have the facts that make for success. You've all been going into the same class, hearing the same lessons being taught. You have the same textbook. You have the same exact notes that the teacher gave. Why would somebody else pass and somebody else fail? Oh, because somebody else has more insight than the other person that failed. That's what it is. And so that's why, you know, none of us can say, well, you know, I'm, you know, operating in lack because, you know, of the economy in the world. No, that could be what the world is experiencing, but not a child of God. A child of God should never take part in the things that are happening in the economy of the world, because God's economy never runs dry. And so you and I, the reason why, you know, if we are facing challenges financially, it is because we lack the appropriate keys and the light, you know, to get us to be in command over our finances in our lives. Not because, you know, God does, you know, has favors. God has no favors. The Bible tells us in Acts 10:34 that God is not a respecter of persons. In fact, in Romans 10:12, it says, "For the same Lord is over all. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." So wherever you are, if you call upon God, you're a child of God. He is the same Lord. He's rich unto everybody. And so there's nobody who is special more than anybody else in the kingdom of God. There are no favorites in the kingdom of God. No, you're not sick because, you know, God doesn't, he wants to punish you. No, absolutely not. God does not need to use the weapons of the enemy to teach us lessons. He's never going to do that. Sickness is never from God. It's an attack from the enemy. But it's the reason, you know, and it's not because there's the flu or the sickness, you know, that's going on around town. And so everybody's sick. And so I have to be sick. Absolutely not. The reason why others are sick and, you know, in the body of Christ and some are not is because others have more light in the area of healing than others in that particular. And, or you may have, you know, and perhaps, You don't have enough light in that particular area of healing in your situations to let that light in so that the light of the Word of God gets into your veins, into your arteries, and through your bloodstream to dispel that sickness out of your body. And that's probably why you could still be, you know, suffering and dealing with some sickness. You know, as long as the light of the Word of God enters into you, that sickness begins to leave. It cannot stay. Where there's light, darkness cannot stay. Sickness is part of darkness because it's part of the kingdom of God. It's never, you know, God never uses sickness to punish the saints of God. That's for, you know, that is for the world. Even Jesus told the Syrophoenician woman that healing belongs to the children of God. And so healing is our portion. So why would God heal us and then use the same thing to punish us? If sickness was of God, then when Jesus came to heal all those who were, you know, under the oppression of the enemy, that means he was going against God's will. God sent him here to heal and to, you know, to deliver. Then if he's, whilst he was going and do, performing healings and deliverances, then he was going against the kingdom of God, or he was going against God's will. So sickness is never from God. It's never God's form of punishment to you and I. But we're out of time. Let me just conclude by saying that salvation is free for all of us. And so salvation, even though salvation is free, you know, well, we may say it's free, but Jesus had to pay a price in order that you and I can have, you know, connectivity back to God after the fall of man. So in a way, we may say it's free, but somebody had to pay the price for that, and that was Jesus. And so, yes, salvation, you know, secures the soul and knowledge, you know, which preserves and ensures our well-being here on earth. We get salvation secures our soul, but this knowledge is always our personal responsibility. It's nobody else's responsibility. You have to get into the Word yourself. You have to gain that understanding, that wisdom, that insight yourself. You cannot live off of somebody else's revelation and expect that to keep you going. It might help you for a little bit to, okay, pray this way. That's why I said there are people who pray, you know, they can take a prayer I've prayed and pray it and not see the results that I've seen because it's not their revelation. It's my revelation. And so, yes, you can use that prayer, and maybe God, you know, by his grace and mercy, will allow you to have a little breakthrough here and there, but you can't live off of that. You need to now then get into the Word and get your own revelation over that situation so that you can be in command. That's why Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth you know shall make you free. So if you don't take time to get into the Word to know the truth and locate the truth for yourself over that situation, well, then you won't be free, because it's the truth you know that shall make you free. So you need to go for the light and lay hold on this master key that God has given us, this master key of knowledge. To you and I, it has been given to know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I pray that you are blessed by today's teaching. Thank you so much for joining me this week. May God meet you at your very point of need, and whatever is wrong in your lives, may he make it right. I pray that by God's grace, we will speak again next week. And you have a blessed and prosperous weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.